We thank you that you have called us to this action of prayer for each other, for those who are suffering among us. You know, Heavenly Father, how we need you, how we just take turns lifting each other into your presence. We thank you for these good examples of people responding to you this morning. Pray your blessing on them. We also thank you, God of Sarah and Hagar and Naomi and Ruth and Esther and Deborah, God of Mary, Elizabeth, Mary and Martha, Mary Magdalene, Lydia, and all the unnamed women of Scripture. As you anointed these women with the oil of faith and calling, we pray that you would anoint all these women who are here this morning. As you bless these women with courage and strength and persistence and perseverance, we pray that you bless these women here this morning. As you transformed their known world through vision and the work of those women, we pray that you continue to transform this world right around us and beyond through these women here. May they continue to form and build this community and the community in which we live in ways that birth love and peace among us. Keep them focused and strong and trusting and steadfast and unwaveringly. We pray that you continue to bless them because they often continue to work tirelessly, often unnoticed, but they do so in ways that are powerful and beautiful. And they just do all manner of good. Would you bless them with a well done, a sense of being your person, engaged in life in meaningful ways, especially when it doesn't seem so meaningful. Pray that you continue to make them instruments of your peace and an inspiration to us all. Amen. Thank you so much, dear women, for the way that you love and serve. In all honesty, being a grandparent and a parent, there are times when, for example, it was not pleasant for me. I heard someone describe a baby as they're fun and you just want to hug them, but they're describe them this way. A baby is a digestive apparatus with a loud noise at one end and no responsibility at the other. And for all those things, those times when that gets attended to, thank you. Thank you so much. It's interesting in Scripture there, very often, especially Paul talks about being new in Christ as like being a baby and growing up, and that we need to grow up. And one way we grow up is we give attention to God's, he calls it in 1 Peter, the sincere milk of the word, so that you could grow up in it, grow up in the faith. And in this letter of Colossians, we've been looking in the first chapter at the way he speaks to this group, this new group of Christians who were doing many things well. They were under threat from the outside, you might say, but they were doing many, many things well. He's concerned for them, and he wants them to deepen. We've been looking in the first verses of this chapter, particularly the subject of prayer and how Paul deepens a friendship with these people through prayer. So let's take a look then at the first thought here. Excuse me just one moment. About deepening our friendships through prayer. The big idea here is that our friendships with God and each other are deepened by prayer. And I'm not sure why that, there we go. Thank you so much. So we looked at last week at a number of ideas about prayer, and we'll review those in a moment. But let's read together God's word as we look at, particularly in the next bit, the next verses. Would you read with me? For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with all the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Well, this is the beginning of another, well, it's a long sentence. If you've noticed that this is a sentence, this is only a portion of the sentence. This section, verse 9, begins a 218-word sentence that reaches through verse 20. And so it makes a long unit of thought, but it shows you and me how Paul is praying for these people. And I think it can help us pray for each other. Pray for each other in meaningful and important ways. Here are some of the things that we looked at last week. We looked at prayer being related to the things that we wish the most. Those are the things that we can, for our friends, those are the things that we can pray for. And Paul evidenced that in verse 1. That friendships are strengthened knowing that others are praying for us. And underneath that idea was that friendships are often the reason that we give thanks to God. Friendships inspire us as we see answers to prayer. Friendships bring gladness to us while we watch others flourish in the faith. And friendships strengthen us, knowing that our prayer partners are proud of us. He was proud of the way that the Colossian believers were flourishing in Christ. So let's look today at a couple of ideas. The first idea is that friendships are strengthened by how we pray for one another. It's very important for us to be praying for each other. And our text read this: since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. So you can see that this person, Paul, a person who'd probably never met or seen anybody that he was praying for, was devoted to this group of people regardless of that fact. He'd only heard reports about this group of people through Epaphras, and he continued to pray constantly for them. You know, prayer is an important thing. He said, we've not stopped praying for you and praying for you and asking God to do the following things. You know, people have your back when they're praying for you. They really do. They care. It's not a trite thing to say, I will be praying about that, and then to do it. It's an important thing. I really enjoyed something I ran across this the other day, and it speaks about the dynamic, I think, of Christianity at its best. It is by Leonard Ravenhill, and it says, we never pray for folks we gossip about, And we never gossip about the folk for whom we pray. There is something limiting about praying when you're invested in praying for other people. It limits stuff in you. It disciplines our spirits when we are praying for other people. When we pull up short on praying for people, when we cease to pray for people, then it's much easier to be in those negative jags. So you know people have your back when they're praying for you. Let me give you an example of that. In the book Stories for the Journey, William White tells about a European seminary professor named Hans and his wife Enid. World War II had forced them to flee their country to America, and he found there a teaching job. He was warm and gentle. He was loved by his students. He brought the scripture to life for them. Hans and Enid were very much in love with each other. Nearly every week, they'd take long walks together, holding hands. They always sat close together at church until Enid died, overwhelming Hans with sorrow. Worried that he wouldn't even eat or take walks, the seminary president where he taught, along with three other friends, visited him regularly, but he seemed to be so lonely and depressed. Experiencing a dark night of the soul, Hans said to them, "I'm no longer able to pray to God. In fact, I'm not even certain I believe in God anymore." At that moment, the seminary president said, "Well then, we'll believe for you. We'll believe for you. We will make your confession for you. We will pray for you." So the four men met together for prayer, asking God to restore the gift of faith to their dear friend. Many months later, the four gathered with Hans, and he smiled, and he said, "It's no longer necessary for you to pray for me. Today, I would like to pray for you." The dark night of the soul had passed. Instead of defeat, their prayer for him brought victory. That's how prayer has your back. There's something so lifting, so restorative about prayer when we experience the power of each other's prayers. Praying for each other to discover the will of God is the second idea that I see here. Asking God to fill you with a knowledge of his will. Well, this is not abstract or theoretical knowledge of God's will. This means so much more than having a lot of biblical information stuffed in your head. Do you know that that kind of knowledge can be possessed by someone who isn't even a believer? An unbeliever can study the Bible and get A's on tests. This is a different kind of knowledge that's talked about here. It's a personal knowledge that's mined out of Scripture, no doubt, but encountered personally with God. And the phrase where it says, asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, suggests a penetrating personal insight into God's redemptive plan in Christ for you. It suggests an understanding of the way that this knowledge is meant to affect the whole of our lives, to transform our lives. That's kind of what he's praying about. It's the difference between saying, say, "Do you know so-and-so?" And you say, "Well, I've met them, but I really don't know them." Or, "Yes, I've known him for a long time, for years and years." It's that kind of intimate knowledge of another person that he wants these believers to deepen in their relationship to God so that their lives will be rich and transformed. Fill them with all wisdom. Wisdom means that we begin to discover the first principles or basic principles of life, how God has constructed our reality. That's wisdom. Understanding how the first principles of life are basic principles of life. Wisdom is that. Understanding means a person can take those basic principles of life and apply them to the circumstances and the decisions and the even moral choices that they have in this life. That's understanding. That is the application of wisdom. You're going through specific circumstances, and then you develop over time, because of your relationship with God, you develop a clear vision of what needs to be done in your life. Not necessarily always tied to every small and little tiny detail, although God helps us with that at times, but it's this big picture. Who am I was the question that kind of came up here this morning. Who am I? I belong to the King. I belong to God. That's where my identity is. And we need to go over that ground repeatedly. I appreciated that reminder, Debbie, that we do that, that we pray for each other to know who we are in Christ, because that's how our lives need to be lived out of that sense. Think how shallow our lives are at times. We just have a little bit of knowledge, but often even less wisdom and understanding. And this is what Paul is praying about for these new believers. God calls us deeper. What's proposed here is a thoughtful way of life, building our experiential knowledge of God, how God's wisdom provides for the basic principles of life. And this results in wisdom, a distillation of that knowledge or experience of God. And understanding results when we learn how to apply that wisdom to specific circumstances. This all comes from the Spirit. These are things that sometimes aren't just natural to us. It takes time attending to how God is at work in our lives and how God is speaking to us through Scripture for this to occur. It's God-given, which suggests to me, and I hope to you, that we engage. We simply engage with God, and we engage with God regularly. Not haphazardly, but regularly. I love the little prayer that goes this way: grant me the knowledge that I need to solve the questions of my mind. Please light my candle while I read Scripture, to keep my heart from going blind. Enlarge my vision to behold the wonders that you have wrought of old. So that's the first idea. Friendship strengthened by how we pray for each other. We need to pray for each other constantly, and for us to go into a deeper understanding of the knowledge of God's will. The second thing that I see is our friendship strengthened by what we pray for each other. And the next thing that I see here is a deepening of our love of God. What is God's love language like? You've heard a lot about love language. We all like to be loved in ways that are meaningful to us. If we were to try to get at God's love language, I think it would be in verse 10. We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord. That's his love language. Live a life worthy of the Lord. It's very interesting. Live a life here is translated sometimes that you may yet your walk may be worthy of the Lord. The idea is, you get the idea that the walk, or your life as you live it, is something to be lived to glorify God. The Aborigines in Australia have a thing they call a walkabout, where it's kind of a coming-of-age ritual, where young people are sent off, you know, maybe from 11 to 16, somewhere in there, on a long walkabout. And this can last up to 6 months of just traveling around and taking care of yourself during that period of time, come of age. It kind of depicts a aimless walking about and surviving and coming back to tell your story. This is no aimless walking about. It's a kind of life, a walkabout. It is a way of life that is meant to glorify God, or to and also to reflect Him well. The picture of this little set of weights is drawn from a piece of that text. To live a life worthy of Christ, the word worthy is translated axios, and that little center of the weight is the axios. And the picture is that we're to live a life worthy of Christ. Now, when we hear that, very often we'll say, boy, I don't know how you do that. I can't make those things even out. Well, they're not even in the sense, even in this picture. But it's not a kind of absolute perfection and being perfect as Christ is perfect. It is trying to reflect, as best you know, the Christ that's in you to others. That's living a life that's worthy. What does Christ call me to? What is Christ asking of me? It's saying yes to that call. And then trying to do your best to live worthy of that. Christ is the original. Christ is our example. Our lives are the copy of what we are to be. The copy of what He is. That's living life worthy of Christ. In another way, you could say it this way. A saint, which we will look at in a moment, we are called saints. A saint is someone who makes it easier to believe in God. You look at their life and how they're living it, and when we live it well, it becomes easier to believe in God. So let's take a look now at a third idea. Friendships strengthen when we pray for each other. And that praying is on deepening our love for God. And that is pleasing God, that we may please Him in every way. And what pleases God? Well, we see that in the next two parts of verse 10. Bearing fruit in every good work, what we do, growing in the knowledge of God is another example of that as well. And then there's the idea of our friendships being strengthened as we deepen our experience of God's power for living. You see that in verses 11 through 13, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Don't we need that today? At times, endurance and patience. And joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the kingdom of light. So here we're looking at a few things. And there are times when life feels a little dark, but we can be praying for each other, for God to be at work in us to this end, that God would give us strength for our days. That's another way we have each other's back. When we hear suffering going on in the lives of another believer, a sister or brother, then we pray for God to strengthen them. And this is not so much the idea of strength in reserve. This is strength in reserve. It's doing nothing. But the word strengthen in this part is strength in action, not strength in reserve. To strengthen each other at just the point that we need it. We need God's support. We need God's help. I think that it implies to be able to pray strategically for each other then means that we know each other at a certain level. There are times when I can't thank God enough about how transparent you are with me and how you give me permission to be transparent with you. That makes it a safe environment in which to risk what's going on in our lives with each other and to experience this kind of strengthening prayer. Strength for our days, that's the promise. Endurance. Endurance is a word that relates primarily to circumstances. It's the ability to bear up under something. The bravery of persevering, of doing what God has handed us to do, in spite of hardship and trial. It's sometimes the refusal to despair. Sometimes that's what endurance is like, hanging in there when you're suffering, when you're feeling put upon, even when you feel down. How do we do that? How do we do that? Well, it's with God's help. And it's kind of like, I remember one time I was really frustrated over something, and it was almost like I heard the words, "Well, Arden, did you plan to do that on yourself, by yourself?" Like, those were, I think, God's words to me in those circumstances. Did you plan to do it by yourself? Well, here I am. Here I am. I'm here to help. And praying for each other that we can engage at that level, that we can receive endurance from God and trust God during when we face our difficulties that we go through. A thing to remember, this empowerment is not proportioned simply to our need. It's proportioned according to God's unlimited resources. I hope you are encouraged by thinking about that. Your circumstances, whatever they are, with God's help and endurance that's above and beyond that. Patience. Ooh. I guess patience would cause me to refuse, to yield to outbursts. I saw an interesting connection that went on in front of a Starbucks the other day. A person started pulling out. Another car was coming around this way to pull in across from them. And as this car came in like this, the person turned and looked and saw the car and kept pulling out. And the person that finally turned in, both of them hopped out of their car, and of course, words flew. But it was all about a perception. The person in the car thought they had everything judged correctly, for they were just backing up just enough to straighten the car. The other person, of course, did not know that and let the person bend their ear about that. Long-suffering. Getting out of the car, what would long-suffering look like when you get out of the car? What would patience look like? It might be different than what I saw or have done. It's the kind of patience that suffers long with another and is willing to forgive and is willing to refuse getting back. Now, it says we're, through prayer, able to do these things, but that it results in something. It results in a kind of gratitude as well. Doing things with God's strength can enable us to experience new joy. Doing things with God's strength and celebrating that can turn us from victims into positive overcomers. And when we experience that deep, deep delight in looking at what God is doing in us and through us, then we experience new reservoirs of joy in our life. So those are some of the things that belong to that area. And then friendships deepen as we pray for God's work, ongoing work in behalf of others, or as we look at how God has been at work in our lives as well. When we stop and think about how God rescued us, as the passage or the text talks about, from the dominion of darkness in our lives, there's time to reflect and think about God's graciousness. We could each one of us be in such different circumstances were it not for His grace. I probably wouldn't be before you this morning were it not for His grace. And we at times need to back up and remember that. According to Scripture, that it says we were in a dark kingdom. We were part of a dark kingdom. We were transported out of that kingdom because of God's work into His marvelous light, the kingdom of His dear Son. But we have been freed from that darkness, rescued, bought back to belong to God, and we've experienced forgiveness based on this new relationship that we have with Christ. I don't know how many of you remember the story of the 33 Chilean miners who were trapped down in a mine. I'd like to recount at least a portion of that. They were trapped at 2,000 feet below the surface for 69 days. They had to live in the dark with almost no food, cut off from the rest of the world. They didn't know if they'd ever see daylight again. Many of them thought they were facing imminent death. They took stock of their lives, and they'd expressed their regrets. Somebody asked Jose Henriquez, who was a Christian, if he would pray. He said he would, and as he got down on his knees, some of the other men joined him, and he began to talk to God. Here's some of the things that he prayed. We aren't the best men, Lord, but have pity on us. And then he actually got more specific. Victor knows he drinks too much. Victor Zamora is too quick to anger. Pedro Cortez thinks about the poor father he's been to his young daughter. And no one in the group objected to that kind of praying. In fact, it was the beginning of something special in that deep down, dark, buried under the earth place. With death staring them in the face, the men got real before God, and they were real with each other. They met every day and had a meager meal to hear a short sermon and then get on their knees and pray. Prayers like, God, forgive me for the violence of my voice before my wife and my son. Or, God, forgive me for abusing the temple of my body with drugs. They confess to each other, too. I'm sorry I raised my voice. Or I'm sorry I didn't get help or didn't help with getting water. Meanwhile, above the surface, all the work had begun, and people all over the world came and were trying to save them, what looked like their death. And eventually, a drill cut a narrow hole through the rock, and they began to get food and supplies and even iPads. And they know that they'll be rescued probably sometime. They find out that they're becoming famous, and they might get rich. And then the confessing stops. The praying stops. The lure of money and fame does a transformation in the community that had developed during their shared suffering. They were at their best when they were at their worst. The deep down dark place is the place where you know you can't make it on your own, where you look and say, I was part of the kingdom of darkness, and now I am part of the kingdom of light. The deep down dark part is the place that you realize you need God. The kingdom of light is where you live with and in light of who he is. Soon after the publication of John Stott's book called Basic Christianity, he received a letter, and it read this way. Dear John, thank you for writing Basic Christianity. It led me to make a new commitment of my life to Christ. I'm old now, nearly 78, but not too old to make a beginning. I rejoice in the grand work you're doing. Yours sincerely, Leslie Weatherhead. I don't know if that name means something to you, but let me tell you a little bit about Leslie Weatherhead. He was one of the most respected and influential Christian leaders in the United Kingdom. Thousands heard him preach at City Temple. His books were widely read. He pioneered in the field of pastoral counseling. He was the president of a Methodist conference, and yet, at 78 years old, he was not too proud or too worn out to make a fresh commitment to God. If we are praying for each other in the ways that Paul has lined out for us, I expect that many of us will be making new commitments to God. I expect that his Holy Spirit will come into our lives in powerful and fresh and transformative ways if we will say yes. Would you join me in prayer, and I'll ask our worship team to come up. Dear Christ, you are with us. We are before you as your church, blood-bought, in deep need of you, and excited about what you promise or hold out to us. Tend that which is lacking in us. Help us to know what it is so that we could forsake it and follow you with whole hearts. It's our deepest desire to walk with you in a deeper and an understanding way, and to live in a way that reflects well on you and helps others place their hope in Christ. We ask this in your name. Amen. Would you stand as we pray?